this on the worship sheet or not, but I'm not going to cover head coverings today. My plan was, I thought it was going to work out really well too, that we would actually be in the next passage in 1 Corinthians that dealt with the Lord's Supper, because it's Lord's Supper Sunday, so to speak. But I figure since we all had something else on our mind and hearts other than head coverings, I thought I'd go to a passage in Scripture that we now have the ability to more readily relate to. I'm going to look at 1 Peter this morning, particularly chapter 1, 3 through 9, because this is written to Christians who are dispersed throughout the Roman Empire. They're not in their homes. They're not in their homeland. They're not where they want to be in this life on earth. I don't know what it was like when they got dispersed, but that much we can say for sure. What it means by exiles of the dispersion in verse 1 means they are not where their home is on this earth. Whether or not they had the opportunity to pack a bag or how many bags, I don't know. But most of us here today have had the opportunity to actually pack a bag and get out of Dodge. To be dispersed. To make a run for it. What did you put in your bag? What will you put in next time? New thoughts. Ever since 2 years ago, we've been asked that question a lot. If it happens again, since you lost everything, if you had a chance to pack anything, what would you pack? It's a good question. What did you pack? What will you pack? What would you pack? What if you didn't get to pack anything? What if you ran out with nothing? Would you be okay? That's not to say it wouldn't be difficult. Just as this last week was difficult. It's not to say you would never be overwhelmed or emotional. Not to say you would never be feeling physically sick because of all that's going on. Struggling with the need for sleep. Tired. It's not to say that that wouldn't be the case. But would you be okay? See, it's a great test of where our hope is. See, I don't want to be tested, thank you very much. I thought I was done with that. I'm out of school. Oh no, it happens all the time. That's what various and sundry trials are about. They show our faith to either be genuine or not. They reveal our hope to be in Christ alone or in something else. There will come a time, without a doubt, when we'll be able to take nothing with us. And we will stand before the Maker of heaven and earth. And we won't be thinking, gee, I wish I would have packed that one whatever. I have nothing, nothing to stand on or rest in. Except Christ. But if you hadn't in this life, you won't be able to then. You won't be able to then. But if you do in this life, because of Jesus' death, ironically, life through the resurrection, we have hope in death, which means we have hope in life. And any hope in this life, if it will not carry you through death, is no hope at all. It's a dead hope. But a hope that will carry you through death is a living hope. Did I lose you? You confused? Is it getting twisted around? That's the way it works. You see, if it's not going to be good enough in your death, it's worthless. it's dead. But if it will sustain you and give you life in death, then it's worth full. It's invaluable. It's living. Versus dead and useless. And for those who know and believe that Jesus Christ has indeed died, has been buried and raised from the dead, and that He died for the sins of His people, not for His own, that He died to bring about justice before a holy God and make known the love of a holy God, we have a living hope. Again, it doesn't mean the trials in this life. It doesn't mean suffering in this life. It doesn't mean the things in this life won't be difficult, exhausting, overwhelming at times. But those trials will only serve to show that we got something packed away in our bag, so to speak, that will go with us. Right in and through death. I want to consider hope this morning. I want us to consider what our hope is in light of what recently has happened, and in light of what will happen without a doubt when every and anyone will face Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. Follow along, I'm going to read 1 through 9, 1 Peter. I'm not going to try to explain every single verse. I want to focus on the issue of hope because it's the main idea, not only in this section, but even in the letter as it comes up again in chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, a couple of preliminary things here. As I already mentioned, this is to those who are dispersed. They're not in their hometown. They're not where they grew up, not where they went to high school, not where their family lives, not where they want to be as far as this life goes. They're Christians, most likely Jewish Christians, who are not in Jerusalem, not in the Holy Land of this life, so to speak. And so what is it that the Lord, the chief shepherd, says to this earthly shepherd, Peter, to those dispersed. He reminds them of the hope they have. What is hope? We use that word all the time. And in our common daily use, it really means sort of, I wish, I want something to happen. I hope there's dessert after lunch this afternoon. I hope it's chocolate, or I hope it's ice cream, right? I hope it rains soon. I hope the winds don't pick up again. I hope this, I hope that. We use it all the time. Biblically speaking, it has to do with a confident expectation. Expectation, because it has to do with something that hasn't happened yet, but is as sure as if it has already happened. And it's a good thing. So it's an eager expectation. There's confidence that it will happen because it's as good as done. And it's an eager looking forward to because it's a good thing. So hope has something else as its object. You don't hope in hope. It isn't hope that keeps you alive. It's something you're hoping in. Something you're clinging to. Something you're standing upon. And what is this hope that is a living hope? Verse 3. In other words, useful. Efficacious. Ooh, big word. Not dead. Not useless. What is it? What is he referring to? The word inheritance is used in verse 4. The word salvation is used in verse 4. In verse 9, again, there's that word salvation of your souls. And if you glance down to verse 13, I didn't read that passage. Verse 13 says this, therefore, basically, in view of this living hope that is in yours, though you have been scattered, you went fleeing, you're not home, not where you want to be, because this hope is yours, prepare your minds for action, being so reminded, setting your hope, or set your hope, so you do this, fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is this hope? It's the salvation that belongs to all who have faith in Jesus raised from the dead. It is this inheritance that is as good as ours now, but we don't receive it yet. It is the kindness of God that will be known and experienced fully when Jesus is revealed when He returns. Now, a couple things about that hope. That hope, this biblical hope versus any other, has a very different source. From where does it come? What is it based upon? Verse 3. Blessed be, when aimed at God, that's praise. Praise God. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah from the dead. The source of living hope is not of this world. The source is the maker of this world, the maker of heaven and earth. Nothing in this world can provide living hope. A little later on, it talks about our faith being refined like gold, though tested by fire, right? Guess what? 2 years ago, gold didn't make it through that fire. Most fireproof safes did not make it through that fire. Well, absolutely nothing will make it through the fire that is yet to come. Except those who have a living hope. Who are confident in, banking on, relying upon not something of this world, but someone who is not of this world. The source of living hope is not based in anything in the here and now. Peter, speaking to Jewish Christians, is reminding them that it's not even an earthly Jerusalem. It's in the heavenly one, where the Father and the Lamb are. The source is in heaven, the God of heaven, the God of earth, and the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus, who has been raised from the dead. Here's the irony then. Jesus died, and in His death, we have hope. Why? Because He didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. See, the worst thing we could actually ever face is the very thing that everyone will face, and that is death. And if we have a hope in death, then we have a hope in life. And because of Christ, we can have a hope in death. We can have a confidence that even in death, we will live. What did Jesus say? Whoever believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. Most will face death. Some will be alive at his coming. Christians face death, but though they die, they live. Because Jesus died and lives, and he's been raised from the dead. The source of a living, useful, lasting hope is not of this world. Not in this world. It's only of the one who is beyond it and yet has made it and has entered into it. And the security of this hope, verses 4 and 5, is not affected by this world or anything in it. Think of Romans 8, the passage most of us love. No, neither height nor depth, sword, nakedness, angels, demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This hope, because it's a living hope, because it's based upon what Jesus has accomplished according to the will of the Father. It's not based on anything in this world, but on the one who was in heaven and who was maker of heaven and earth. This hope is a secure hope, not affected by anything in this world. Verse 4. Inheritance that is what? It's imperishable. Can't go bad. It can't spoil. Many of you have been throwing away food, right? This doesn't spoil. Undefiled. Can't fade. You pull something out of storage and go, oh, well, I guess it's useless. It's faded, or there's holes in it, or it's worn out. But not this salvation, not this inheritance brought about by the will of God through Jesus raised from the dead. No, it is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Why? Because it's kept, guarded, secure in heaven. Not on earth. Not in the banks. Not in the hospital, not in your homes, but in heaven. Not only is this inheritance, not only is our salvation, not only that which we're confidently, eagerly expecting to experience is secure, but we ourselves who have faith in Christ are kept secure. Verse 5. Who? The recipients of this inheritance, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God keeps us. God guards us. God upholds us by His strength through the indwelling presence of God the Spirit, having been sealed. Ephesians chapter 1. Sealed is Christ, bought by Him in His shed blood. Even we are secure to experience that which we're hoping for. You could have something on this earth, in this life, very secure and kept for you, but you're not necessarily kept for it. How many get to retirement and have a heart attack the year later and there goes the money they saved and they're ready to enjoy? But not just that in which the Christian hopes is secure, But the Christian is secure to one day know the fruition, the fulfillment, the full experience of what Christ has brought about through His death and resurrection. This hope, this living hope, involves a joy, verses 6 through 9, that is out of this world. It's also not of this world. Jesus said, I leave you my peace, not like the peace of this world. Your belly's full, you're happy. Belly's empty, you're angry. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. You slept well, you're happy. You didn't sleep well, you're grumpy. Stock market's doing well, you're happy. It's not doing well, you're unhappy, you're worried. The roof doesn't leak, you're sleeping well. The roof leaks, you don't sleep. See, it's not like the things in this world. The joy that is fleeting. No, the joy of a living hope is inexpressible, verse 8. You can't even express it, because it's not something of this world. It's out of this world. Verses 6 through 9. In this you rejoice. In what? Salvation ready to be revealed the last time. This secure inheritance that is yours, this living hope, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved. We can be grieved. It's not that we don't experience grief. We're grieved by various trials. But yet in the midst of them, living hope gives a joy that allows us to have a different perspective of those trials, whatever they may be. What perspective is that? Verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, jump ahead a little bit, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, those who have a living hope can understand, can view, can see, can have a different perspective on trials and realize that trial only shows the genuineness, the trueness, the reality of the fact that I have faith in Jesus Christ and that He alone is my hope. We struggle with doubt. We wonder, do you really want to have assurance? God gives you trials. And when you go through a trial, when you go through loss and hardship, though you're grieved, though it's difficult, you weep, you mourn, you're physical beings, you struggle physically, you go through it, and yet your hope is Christ and Him alone. So what have you found out? Oh, it's the genuine article. It's the real thing. It's not an eBay knockoff that the moment I wear it or use it, it falls apart. It's the real thing. Oh, great, I'm struggling and there's a trial. No, the joy isn't in that. The joy is that in the trials, in the hardships, through the grieving, what comes about is an assurance that we're hoping in the right thing. That we have every reason to be confident in what we're hoping in. That our inheritance is secure. That we are secure. That the greatest is yet to come. Not only does it give us a perspective in the midst of trials, it gives us motivation to move forward. Not on. You don't move on. I recently heard that through my wife who heard it or read it in something. That's a really wise way of saying things. Moving on is like saying, get over it as if it never happened and keep going. But that's not reality, right? You lose your legs in the war. You don't move on, but you move forward. Now in a wheelchair. You go through trials, you have loss, you suffer, it's real. And the effects of it may be lingering. But you move forward. What's the motivation? verse 8. Though you have not seen Him. See, they had never seen Jesus either. You love Him. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. We've been born again to a living hope through His resurrection from the dead. We love Him. Though we do not now see Him, we believe in Him. How do you know you believe in Him? Because you went through a trial, suffering, loss, hardship, grief, and yet you still say, I have no good on earth but You, God. You are my hope. You are my confidence. For You my soul longs. You believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Jesus raised from the dead is our motivation. You may have to pick up pieces, take care of details, work on things, and you have certain goals and things you have to get to, but the motivation is not that you'll get there and then all will be well, because it will not. Not in the next presidential election, or the one after that, or the one after that is going to make things all well and secure. Only Christ will. And so He is our motivation. He is why we move forward and continue to go. And not just, oh well, praise and thanks, I got to keep going. But we have a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Because we have a peace that surpasses understanding. Because we have a hope that is not in things of this life. It's not founded in this life. It's not kept in this life. It's not kept in this world or on earth, but on Him who was in heaven. Through the work of Him who walked this ball of dirt. Was in our shoes. Tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. But then became sin for us. Now, living hope has a source not of this world, a security not affected by this world, and a joy that is out of this world. It's inexpressible. And the ones who have this living hope stand out in this world. You stand out, which is why we're here. Verse 13, again in chapter 1, says, therefore preparing your minds for action, moving forward, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on, not the insurance companies, not the first responders, not your family, not your hell, fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Remember, this is written to those who are not in their homes, not where they want to be in this life, but their faith is in Christ, they have a living hope. Their trials are acknowledged. The grief is acknowledged, yet there is this gentle and right reminder that we have a living hope that is to motivate us, spur us on, to move forward in this life, to live Christ, the one who has brought about our living hope through His death and resurrection. And when we do, we are going to stand out. We're going to be weird, strange, unexplainable. And to that the Lord says in chapter 3, verse 15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. We're going to stand out. We're going to be weird. Abnormal, strange. Why aren't you mad at PG&E? Why aren't you whining and complaining? Why aren't you such a mess that you can't move forward and function in life? Because my hope is not in this life. I grieve. We grieve. We struggle. It's hard. We get sick. We're frail. But we move forward. And with joy. Not insensitive joy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Mourn with those who mourn. We move forward with joy. Why? Because a day is coming when we won't even have a duffel bag full of stuff. And we'll stand there, bare, before the one who made heaven and earth. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We will stand before the one who is spotless, without blemish. And what will we turn to then? Whatever you turn to in this life, you'll be throwing. You'll be casting it aside and running for your lives, internally, if not physically. But if your hope is Christ in this life, that's a living hope, and you have hope in death. So that then whatever goes on in this life, you still have hope. Because your hope is not in anything in this world, of anything in this world, is beyond this world, with a security that cannot be shaken. We will stand out. When do people stand out as having confidence in something that others can't explain? When we go through trials and difficulties. We lose loved ones, we grieve, but not like those who have no hope. We lose a week, we lose sleep, we lose homes, we lose our health, we lose relationships, and yet we don't move on, we move forward. Motivated by the love of Christ, love for Him, and that eager expectation of seeing Him in which we are confident that we will, and when we do, because of Him, we will be able to stand and be with Him forever. What is your hope? What are you banking on? What is the stability of your life founded upon, if it is not Jesus Christ? Your hope's a dead one. My hope's a dead one. But when our confidence is Christ Himself, we have a hope that will make it through the fires of judgment and carry us from this life to the perfect one yet to come. We'll grieve. We'll struggle. There'll be ups and downs. But all along we'll be sustained by this living hope, who is Jesus raised from the dead. Join me in prayer. Father, thank You for trials and difficulties. I don't want them, not asking for more. But thank You that through them You sustain Your children, provide assurance of faith in Christ, our one and only hope. Father in heaven, I praise You that according to Your great mercy, You have caused many here today to be born again to a living hope through Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And I thank You, Father, for those of us who have such a hope. Thank You for Your word and the reminder that we have such a hope. May we now, with our minds set fully on this hope and the grace to be revealed when Christ returns. May we continue to live Christ with joy and stand out in this world, in this life, in these situations, that we could point right back to you the explanation for such a hope. And for any here this morning, Father, young or old, may you grant the smoke still in the air to bring them about to a great realization that this life is passing. It is unsure. It is unreliable. But that you are our rock and our refuge. That you are reliable. You're reliable and merciful and gracious. And grant them faith. Faith in Jesus raised from the dead. That we together would conduct ourselves, that would behave, speak, and live in such a way as to reflect your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. And tell people about our hope, our living hope that is in you through Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.